afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We bring you this special radio broadcast in order to give you the very latest information on an amazing phenomenon.
Computer Talk with Dave Mason.
It's been that way for 2 hours. And the tension is just beginning. Just a minute, ladies and gentlemen. I think something is happening.
We're talking about the Microsoft Surface Pro 3 and the promise of the newest tablet from Microsoft, and I do think it has some promise. I mean, the first thing is they've bailed on RT, so that makes the decisions much more simple. RT was never a workable option, in my opinion. They've improved the performance of the Surface Pro 3 significantly, utilizing Windows 8.1. Of course, it's a tablet at heart, but also includes the does not include, but offers at additional cost, the very thin and light keyboard cover. It has a kickstand, which makes it usable. But again, you know, immediately my first reaction to these sorts of things, I mean, you start with a tablet and then you take extra time and money and effort to make it more like a laptop, and I begin to wonder. Yeah, at some point, that doesn't make sense. And so what I'm going to recommend to you is that I think it does make sense to look at a Surface Pro 3. If you're a laptop user, laptop/tablet user, you're looking to maybe kind of integrate stuff, it does make sense to look at it. But I think you also want to look at a conventional Ultrabook, which is a very small laptop. Now, the problem is with all these devices that are in this size range, is that the screen is small. You know, very high quality screens, but the screen is small. You may need a bigger screen, and that's going to end up being the thing, probably the single thing, that's going to make you make a choice in a laptop product as opposed to a multi-purpose tablet laptop, such as the Surface Pro 3. Now, one of the things that's interesting right now that Microsoft's doing is they're promoting a trade-in for MacBook Airs. Now, I got to tell you, for reasons completely, really independent of the products themselves, to me, this doesn't make sense. It's a waste of time, to me. Now, I could be wrong here. This is always the case with anything I say or do. But I think Apple's users generally are loyal, almost independent of the hardware and software. That most Apple users, if you came to them and you just said, okay, look, this is a bigger processor, it's got more memory, it's got a brighter screen, it's got blah, 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 you're not going to get the sort of conversion that you would like with HP or Dell user. So I'm not sure about the effectiveness of this sort of trade-in. Now, it's a significant trade-in amount, $650, as much as $650. Now, the algorithm is constantly changing, and it depends on the specific MacBook Air. So, you know, if you go into a Microsoft store, you may not see a $650 trade-in value for your particular MacBook Air. It's as much as that. It could be $300. It could be $450. Wherever it is where it is. Now, I think if they had a trade-in thing like this for other hardware companies, I think it might make some sense. But then I think it may step on the toes, since HP, Dell, Acer, Samsung, Sony, etc. are Microsoft partners. I mean, it's bad enough that Microsoft is building and selling hardware now that's directly competitive. I think perhaps if they began to look at a trade-in value for, you know, a Dell Ultrabook as much as $400 or whatever it would be, I think I might be stepping on some toes a little much. I don't know if that's not why they're not doing it, but it does occur to me that that would be something that could be a little bit sticky for them. The point is, for Microsoft, though, is that they're really getting aggressive, trying to make this, you know, they've streamlined things in their tablet lineup and in their OS lineup. They've improved things in their OS lineup just in terms of the content of the OS itself and the operation of the OS. They've made good moves. It seems silly to me that they've even had to. I mean, when Windows 8 came out, the weaknesses were so glaring, it seemed obvious to me that they needed to just make some simple changes and didn't do it for a year. But they have now, and it begins to make some sense to really look at these things seriously. The new Surface Pro. Now, the other thing about a Surface Pro that I don't get, even without the additional cost of the keyboard, the cover keyboard, is they're expensive. Now, they're not as expensive. They're not in the Apple realm of expensive, but they're pretty close. That makes it tough for Microsoft. I just don't, you know, on a dollar for dollar, here's the performance, here's the capability per dollar. That's a tough thing for me. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. Now, you know, they're very thin. They're very good screens. That keyboard is incredibly thin, doubles as a cover, which is a, you know, when it comes to portability is good. Now, of course, you know, once you attach that keyboard, you know, when you have a conventional laptop, there's a hinge there with some degree of friction that holds that screen up for you. You don't need a stand. Well, even with the keyboard here that attaches to the side of the, or potentially the bottom, once it goes into landscape mode, of the tablet, it doesn't hold it up. You have to hold it up and hold the keyboard so they've attached a stand in the back like a little easel. See, the problem with that to me is it doesn't work well on anything but really flat surfaces. If you're actually holding this on your lap, it's tough. You know, if you don't have a really flat, I mean, it doesn't happen often, but there are situations in which I'll pull my laptop up and I'll actually hold the corner of the keyboard with one hand. Not often, but I do. You could not do that with a Surface Pro 3. Couldn't do it. So there's still some format things, I think, for a lot of people. Makes it a little clunky, but it begins to make some sense here and be worth at least considering. But I would certainly get to a store and get my hands on it before I made that purchasing decision.
You know what I'm going to ask? I'm going to ask a question again. A reminder, a throw it out there in the air to see what if you have anything that you can think of that may fit this category. But what is going to be the next thing that we don't see that's going to bridge that tablet to laptop issue that you're talking about? I just don't see anything. I don't either.
I don't
see a way out.
I don't either. Well, I mean, it's not like there's a way out. It's not like we're stuck somewhere. No. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Steve-O. I mean, we've talked about this since about 2000. When we went to the 2001 CES, Comdex in Vegas, Bill Gates did the keynote speech and hid the entire content of his keynote speech was tablets in 2001. They did not really become a reasonable alternative until about 2011. I think it's been one of the things that happens in technology is that you have to have the next new product, and if you have to sort of, I'm not going to say they're making, you know, they're not fabricating, they're not lying, but they do have to kind of generate interest. However, they can generate it. You know, they got to make you want something that maybe you don't necessarily really want or need, but their business depends on it.
Well, you know, the first thought that maybe we're looking at it the wrong way. Maybe the device isn't what has to change. Maybe us humans will evolve.
Well, you know what I think is the situation.
To make it work.
Well, I think the smartphone is a much more compelling thing. I think the next development there that I think still needs some significant development is the smartphone watch. Right now the watch is a kind of a partner device with the actual smartphone. I think at some point when those things two completely converge, I think that's a compelling possibility. The old Dick Tracy thing. That and flying cars. Well, you can tell by that funky music in the background, we're flat out of time. Well, thank you for joining us. Hope you enjoyed the show. We sure did. We always do. We're going to be back next week. In the meantime, have a safe, sane, sober weekend. When it comes right down to it, the most important thing in life is time. The better you manage your time, the better your life is. Hi, this is Dr. Dave. I want to talk to you about some incredible software that helps you better manage your time and get more out of life. I'm talking about Intellect from Chaos Software. I've researched time management software for over 20 years. I've never found a better, simpler, more practical tool for managing my time and my life than Intellect. In fact, it's what I use every day. It even helped me find the time to write this script. Intellect includes an easy-to-use email client with state-of-the-art spam filters, an integrated contact manager, an appointment manager, and to-do list, all wrapped up in the most efficient productivity package I've ever used. Best of all, Intellect is network-ready right out of the box. Download Intellect's free trial at chaossoftware.com. Whether you're a salesperson, retired grandmother, real estate mogul, or radio talk show host, you need Intellect from Chaos Software. Check it out at chaossoftware.com for a better life.